You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Now, summer means many of us are thinking about holidays. But when you're blind or partially sighted, accessibility becomes part of the process of planning that dream trip. So joining us today to chat her tips for accessible travel and things that have worked and didn't work for her is Emmy from Emmy's VIP Life. It is lovely speaking with you today, Emmy.
Yeah, thanks for having me to do this. I always enjoy having a chat with you.
Yes, likewise. And it's so nice to hear from someone who, like yourself, loves getting out and about. And when it comes to like planning a trip, what would you say are like the top things you consider when you start that process of planning your next adventure?
Obviously, there's multiple different parts of the actual like travel to wherever I'm going, or then like where the best place is to kind of stay and different activities to do and like tours to book. And who's best to do those with. So obviously a lot more of that is more thinking of, okay, is this place accessible? Like, is there somewhere I can get accessibility like assistance at the airport? And same thing, like we always have a look for hotels if there's like lots of steps or if it's like fairly accessible.
No, that's completely makes sense. And speaking of airports, how do you find that experience? Do you go for travel assistance or?
We always try and do travel assistance, but obviously, airports can differ. There's some that are sometimes a bit more accessible and some that aren't maybe quite as accessible. It's always kind of very busy, a bigger airport. For example, there's one airport I went to, we went from Birmingham one time. In their accessible toilet, they actually had audio descripts that you could put your hand over and it would give you a whole description of everything in the room because the light wasn't very good.
Oh, that's really good. Is that something you've ever seen anywhere else or?
Never seen it since in anywhere else. Oh. It's the only place I've seen it. And the funny thing is, I actually discovered it by accident.
Oh, so you had no idea it was there?
I had no idea it was there. I literally just moved my hand and suddenly it started talking to me. And I was like, what is going on?
That's pretty neat. It's, when it comes to like travel, I know with passenger assistance, it can be a bit, I think usually do you have to, when you come in, how does that look? Like, do you book it, pre-book it, or can you get it on the day when you get to the airport?
You can book it beforehand, but then also when you get to the airport, you go to like the travel assistance desk. And actually, I was also given like a lanyard as well, because he basically said that if you have this lanyard, they'll know that you've got assistance as well.
And what would you say are the advantages of using it? Like, how does that help with the whole experience of like getting through an airport?
It just helps because they take you through like priority through like security. And when you get on the plane, they'll take you kind of round to the plane and kind of make sure you get on the aircraft okay. And also I've had a couple of times where people have actually come to me on the plane and come and brought me and showed me the safety equipment and kind of like let me feel it and stuff as well, and like done a little personal display of the safety procedures because they know I can't see it. But also when getting on the plane, the steps, if there's lots of people on them, obviously they move about a lot, they kind of shake a lot, and that really freaks me out because with my vision I've got no depth perception, so something like that really moving under my feet makes me really freaked out and really kind of, it's just a bit of a stressful experience. So the fact if you can get priority and kind of go on first or go on last, it just means there's not so many people then shaking all over the place and you feel a bit more steady.
And what about like from once you get to your destinations, do you have favorite destinations you've been to that you found like the whole experience overall really accessible, really friendly to someone who is blind or partially sighted?
Rome was quite good going because like when we got there we had to wait a bit, but they were quite good at kind of where we had to go. Probably Spain as well, they were kind of very quickly kind of get us off the plane and kind of get everything sorted. So especially now because there's it's anything when you go to your country and you have to like either a fingerprint or like a scan of your eye. Well, we didn't have to do that. They just let us through passport control, which was very handy to do. This was the first time I travelled somewhere where that we weren't sure if we'd have to do that or not. So the fact that they kind of just looked at passport and then took us through was very handy, really.
What about to like on holidays? Have you had like a favourite, I guess, activity or something you've done that you were like, oh, this is brilliant, this was so much more like accessible, I really didn't expect that, but that's great?
I must admit, just coming back now from Rome, both the tour we did, the Colosseum, and another activity, the Gladiator School we did, both times the tour guide and the people who were around were very kind of aware of my limited vision and were very kind of cautious of saying, trying to find somewhere that was more accessible to go down to somewhere or trying to find a different route round, or saying that it wasn't safe, so they couldn't take me to one part, and just a bit more aware with, compared to some other places I've been.
And what about like when you go to hot countries? Are there any things you kind of prep ahead for? Because I know obviously the sun's a bit different. It can be a bit brighter. It could be a bit more, maybe worse on like if you have any sort of light sensitivity.
So with light sensitivity with me, normally I'd make sure like I've got a hat and I've got my sunglasses. However, this time we had a bit of an issue because we're currently trying to find an alternative sunglasses because my current ones aren't working because my light sensitivity has changed. But same thing, I still make sure like I've got a cap to try and like block some of the sunlight and things like that. But yeah, there's like more things to think about. Same things about like in the case. So I always take now a spare guy cane with me and a spare like end to my cane.
Yeah, because if you're going somewhere where it's really crowded, lots of tourists, lots of people, maybe not really paying attention, taking photos, like I imagine you've had instances where people maybe stepped on or almost stepped onto your cane.
Yeah, that, and I've also had a time where it's gotten stuck on cobbles and it's gone over the side into the water as well. So,
Oh, that must have been quite a surprise.
yeah, that was entertaining, especially then that my dad had to go in and get it.
Oh, goodness. Did he retrieve it?
Yeah, he managed to retrieve it in the end, but luckily now we always take a spare just in case.
To save your
And
dad
every
from
time we
having
go
to.
near, some form of water, he's like, put that wrist strap on right now.
Are there any things about like traveling that you like maybe your biggest tip for someone who's planning a holiday and feeling a little bit like anxious or nervous?
I'd rather just make sure like wherever you're going like to, as I said, just making sure you look at those things more closely of, okay, I want to go here, what could be the issues that I could face in terms of like cobblestones or busy crowds or finding somewhere that's not got as many steps or obstacles where they're staying. And then we're going like, do you want to go from a larger airport or a smaller one? So if it's less busy, if that like affects you more. So it's just all those things to kind of think ahead, really, of kind of making it easier for yourself beforehand.
So basically, a lot of research, research, research.
Yeah, I think we did research for kind of 3 or 4 weeks beforehand to kind of find the best place. And even then, the place we stayed, we kind of got a lot of Ubers, like taxis and stuff, into the main square. But the hotel we stayed at also could have done taxis and stuff for us. So to get about, it would have been fairly accessible if, if I wasn't there with family. It still would have been fairly okay to be able to go into like place I want to go to.
It's nice to hear about traveling as well, because I feel like sometimes we can kind of get in our head a little bit about, okay, it might be a bit more difficult, but if you have do this prep and maybe have someone who can support you, or you can do organized things as well. There's lots of companies that offer organized trips. I think Seeable Holidays is one of them. So there's some really great options there that can
Yeah,
really
and actually,
support
it
you.
would be interesting if I ever did one with them to see how it differed. Because I've only really ever travelled with my family, or I've done some abroad trips with the Victor charity. Interesting again to see how again the Seeable one then differed from other experiences, really.
Well, Emmy, it's been, as always, it's been fantastic to hear from you. And thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today on RNIB Connect Radio.
Yeah, like I said, thanks for having me on.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.